This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for a look back on today's match. This is the Full Time Report with the voices of our Atlanta United, Mike Conti and Jason Longshore.
Atlanta United is brought to you by Piedmont Quick Care. One stop to better. Country Financial. Don't get overwhelmed. Get started at TakeSimpleSteps.com. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Heineken, Aaron's, the perfect choice for your budget and style with top brands in furniture, electronics, and appliances. Skanna, the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. AT&T, more for your thing. That's our thing. Associated Credit Union, Equifax. Proud partner of your Atlanta United and your local Ford dealer. Our Atlanta United are on Star 94.1.
And Atlanta United kind of weathers the storm clouds this week. It started Sunday with Joseph Martinez being declared out indefinitely with a torn ACL. It continued later in the week when we learned that Franco Escobar and Miles Robinson were not yet ready to play. And then it continued with word that Mateus Ozetu and Manuel Castro would not be able to join the team to train until Friday. And even with all those setbacks and a showdown at the Azteca looming on Wednesday against Club America, Atlanta United does the job tonight, and they get a 2-1 win over Cincinnati. And Jason, when you are sailing rough seas, you need to have a sturdy boat. And that leads us to the man of the match, brought to you by Heineken. Ezequiel Barco with a goal and an assist tonight. Four shots, three of them on target, led the team in both categories. As I said, an assist and a goal. And we've been saying that Barco is going to be one of the players Atlanta United will really have to lean on in Joseph's absence, and he had a very good start to that tonight.
He got a lot of support from Pity Martinez. He got a lot of support from Emerson Hyndman, who also scored tonight. Fernando Meza was a rock in the back. But Barco is the player that a lot of eyeballs are going to turn to now. A lot of teams are going to come in and expect him to be the one to carry this team. He responded tonight. It wasn't just what he did on the ball. It was his defensive work multiple times, making long sprints back defensively. Little things like drawing the foul late in the match, holding play up. He nearly had a couple of more goals. Barco was outstanding tonight and a very mature performance from Ezequiel Barco.
Our man of the match brought to you by Heineken. If Barco was the man of the match, then I nominate Fernando Meza as the man of the season so far for Atlanta United. Four competitions, Atlanta United has conceded only twice in those four competitions in open play, and with the center back group changing week by week with Escobar, Miles Robinson injured, tonight it was Meza working with George Campbell and Anton Walks, and eventually they moved to a line of four with Brooks Lennon. Meza, it's just so rock solid back there. He reminds me a lot of Michael Parker's.
Yeah, it really feels like Fernando Meza is just, whoever he has with him, is just pulling them along. Tonight, he really shut down Jurgen Locadia. This is a team that's been built on superstars, and we've talked so much over the years about Joseph Martinez, about Pity Martinez, about Miguel Almiron in the past. But it's been guys this season so far. Anton Walks has been great since returning from Portsmouth. Fernando Meza was someone that nobody really talked about coming into this team. He's been great. Emerson Hyndman's a player that has been completely lost in the shuffle. He's got a couple of goals, a couple of match-winning goals. Every goal he scored for Atlanta United has won a match. You're getting performances across the roster right now.
You really are. And, again, like we've been saying, really since the start of February, this team continues to display a level of mental toughness that could serve them very, very well Wednesday night at the Azteca. But we have plenty of time to look ahead to that match later. Final stats, the shots were 14-8 in favor of Cincinnati, but Cincinnati had only four of those 14 shots on target. Atlanta United had four of their eight shots on target. Cincinnati three corners, Atlanta United with two. Cincinnati conceded 16 fouls, Atlanta United conceded nine. Possession was 58-42 Atlanta United, and it was pretty much the same over both halves. Atlanta United won 57% of the duels, and for the second straight week, Atlanta United passes at 80% or better, 84% tonight, Cincinnati at 82%. This will probably go down as another one of those low expected goal wins for Atlanta United as they had last week in Nashville. The key passes, a.k.a. chances created tonight, 13-5 in favor of Cincinnati. But again, you really don't care about that right now. All that matters is Atlanta United's the only team in the Eastern Conference that has won their first two matches.
You just keep moving on, and you just keep winning matches however you can at the moment. Nobody's going to go back and judge these on style at the end of the season. Atlanta United has 6 points. They couldn't have any more at this stage.
Okay, let's take a break. We've got a lot more to come. Stephen Glass, Atlanta United 2's manager, is in the booth with us. We'll visit with him. George Campbell is going to be our guest from the Atlanta United dressing room, and we'll have all the highlights coming up right after this as Atlanta United defeats Cincinnati 2-1 on the full-time report on Star 94.1.
More full-time report on Star 94.1.
Back at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Atlanta United 2-1 winners tonight over Cincinnati to move to 2 wins, no losses, no draws on the season. Let's go downstairs outside the Atlanta United dressing room. George Campbell is joining us. And, George, well played tonight. Were you expecting to play at all? Because I'm sure you weren't expecting to be a first-half substitute tonight.
I wasn't expecting to play or having any high expectations, but I mean, I always got to be ready, and I try to stay as tuned in as possible. So, yeah, it was exciting.
Let's talk a little bit, George, just about how this year has gone for you. You featured a lot for this first team, maybe more than you might have thought coming in. How comfortable has it been pairing up with guys like Fernando Meza and Anton Walks?
I've gotten a lot of chances through, other circumstances, but it's been good. They always try to, teach me in and off the field. During games, obviously, it's always intense. Sometimes they can get angry, but you just got to listen and learn.
Well, you didn't have even a lot of time to warm up as Lawrence White goes down with an injury, and you kind of got rushed right onto the pitch, and you had a couple early tests that you certainly passed with flying colors. But I would imagine in a situation like that, you really have to rely on your goalkeeper, Brad Guzan, and Fernando Meza, and the rest of your back line, just as far as communicating and making sure you're in the right spot, correct?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, when you're not expecting to go on right away, and you just put your shin guards on and get in, you gotta get used to the game. It takes a while to get used to how the game's going, the pace of it. So obviously, I have to rely on my teammates to help me smoothly get into the game.
Until the change in shape in the back at the end, something that it looked like you were growing more comfortable with as the night went on was stepping up and joining the attack. Your background as playing, mostly in midfield in the Atlanta United Academy before becoming a center back, how much does that help you in these moments?
Yeah, it helps a lot. Obviously, it helped with my feet a lot, helped me grow confidence going forward. But also, it's just about being confident, being yourself, and playing your game. As I was going in, Frank just said, play your game, so that's what I tried to do.
Well, George, I don't need to tell you what is next for the first team, a trip to the Azteca on Wednesday night. And a lot of people call it a once-in-a-lifetime experience to go down and play at the Azteca, but I get the feeling that you guys are not going down there for a vacation. You're going down there to try to get a result and make things interesting on Club America in this quarterfinal round of the CONCACAF Champions League.
Yeah, it's an important game, one of the most important of the year, so you have to go down there, be intense, get everything we can and try to get a result, obviously.
George, great job tonight, and really a great job all through the preseason up to now, and we look forward to seeing more of you in 2020.
All right, thank you so much, guys.
George Campbell, the 18-year-old homegrown who has been in Atlanta United's academy since 2016 and at the first of this year signed his first-team contract, and now with Atlanta United continuing to lose center backs, we'll keep an eye on Miles Robinson's status and obviously Franco Escobar and everyone else, but he could be in the plans With Lawrence Wike out come Wednesday night at the Azteca. It's not far-fetched.
No, his play has put himself into those plans, and I'm glad he mentioned growing in confidence, because early on, you know, you're not expecting to come in the first half. A little shaky, but as the night went on, players started to trust him more with the ball at his feet. He started to trust himself more and push forward.
All right, let's take another break. Stephen Glass, the manager of Atlanta United 2, has very patiently been waiting with us here in the booth, and we're going to visit with him when we come back after this. 2-1 Atlanta United over Cincinnati on the full-time report on Star 94.1. Well, I'll be honest with you. Picking music of Cincinnati, not the easiest assignment.
No.
On the full-time report, because if this is your first time with us on the full-time report, Glassy, this is your first time. What we do after an Atlanta United positive result, win or favorable draw, we play music from the city of the team which Atlanta United conquered on that night. So tonight it's Cincinnati music. I did not realize the Isley brothers are from Cincinnati. They are.
Yes.
And there you go.
There you go. And that was from Miller Pope, actually.
No, that's a great call. Yeah. Yeah, Miller can sneak up on you with his knowledge of music. 2-1 Atlanta United over FC Cincinnati tonight. We're going to get to the highlights in a moment, but Stephen Glass, the manager of Atlanta United 2, is with us here in the broadcast booth. Now, Atlanta United 2 opens its USL Championship regular season tomorrow. Action at the Fraction against Charleston Battery. And we'll talk about that match in a moment. But first, Glassy, I'm wondering your impressions of this match tonight, how you felt the first team got through it.
Yeah, I think it's a great victory. I think two tough games to start the season with the amount of games that the first team have had, and they come out with 6 points. Jason mentioned it earlier. So however it comes, the 6 points is fantastic, and I think everyone goes home happy.
You've got to feel a little bit of pride about this, too, because you've seen Lawrence Wyke step into some big moments and now George Campbell step into some big moments. They wouldn't be here if not for the time they got last season with the twos.
Yeah, I didn't actually know the number of games they played. I knew it was coming on afterwards, so I had a little look. So I think 50-odd games between the two of them last year, which is, it shows the grounding that they got there last year with the second team. Obviously, Luis Fernando made a debut a couple of weeks back as well. So when you're looking for motivation for our group tomorrow and maybe for attractive points for people to come and watch, for me, telling our group, those guys playing in the bends last night in front of 70,000, there's two of them, there's one sitting on the bench. That could be you pretty soon if you do the work and you concentrate and you focus and you listen to the coaches, not just myself, but the first team guys too. So.
Well, if we were talking to Arthur Blank about this before the match tonight. It really feels like the conveyor belt is starting to crank up a little bit. Academy pushing young men into your team, Atlanta United 2. Atlanta United 2 then in turn pushing players from that side onto the first team. And we've already seen examples of it this year. So I have to ask you, going into your match tomorrow, I'll put you on the spot a little bit. Who are some of the players that you feel are getting close to making that kind of jump? And who are some of the players that you're really excited to have a chance to coach this year?
I've been asked that question a number of times over the last couple of weeks, and I'm very loath to throw names out.
Sure.
Purely because a lot of people will mention names, and then sometimes nothing comes of guys, or guys start getting ahead of themselves. So what I do like to tell people is, if you want to see the young guys and who will be the future of the club, come along and see them and make your mind up and say, I like that guy, I hope he plays at the Benz next year or 6 months, 2 years, whichever. The fact that they're in our team means we believe in them. There's academy guys, there's probably a 16, a 17, an 18-year-old playing tomorrow. There's the older guys that we signed, Mojadama, Bradley Camden, and possibility of some first-team guys coming along too. So
Bradley Camden, by the way, was with the team, the first team in Guadalajara at Leones Negros. So that's another example of a player that you're working with Atlanta United too, who's kind of pushing to get into the first team right now. Just wanted to mention that.
Yeah, I think the attraction for someone like Bradley coming was, we were telling him, we can push you and we can help you become a first-team player at Atlanta United, and we're not lying to guys like that when they come. And it's fantastic for myself and Henry to be able to come along here, and Bradley was either here or resting and watching it on the television tonight. It was his choice to actually see that that's the truth. We're not just telling them a line to get them to make the second team stronger. We believe we can make guys like Bradley first-team players. That is the hope, that's the aim. And it's, I think it's why we're going to be successful this year.
I think what's impressed me a lot about the build-up to this season is it feels like a year that you're finding that balance between developing players, academy players fitting into the team, but also competing in a really difficult Eastern Conference in the USL Championship. I mean, playoffs are the goal, right?
It's got to be. I think you're not preparing teams to get beat. So we're trying to prepare guys that can, like George Campbell, like Lawrence White tonight, like Luis the other week, that know how to come on and win a game of soccer. So they can handle it. They can handle it with a group of the first team players. They can handle it in an arena like this tonight. Big George, if he plays in the Aztec on Wednesday, we know he can handle it already. And he's going to, hopefully, for me, he gets the opportunity to do it, because I'd love to see him do it and prove everyone that's very, very proud tonight of him, his family, I'm sure. And a lot of coaches have had their hands on George right through the club. So I'm sure there's a lot of proud people here in this building tonight.
Well, what better way to grow, too? I mean, even if you make a mistake or two, the opportunity to play Club America at the Azteca for an 18-year-old, what an opportunity to kind of kick off the training wheels and grow no matter what happens, right?
Yeah, and the way that the club plays and the way that these players play, there's a fair percentage chance that as you move up the levels, you're going to make a mistake. But it's how you react, and we know the mentality of these guys. And like I say, there's a lot of people who had a hand in their mentality, their soccer ability, everything that's rounded them into being hopefully the professionals we think they can be, and we know they can handle this. And now Frank's seeing that they can handle it too, and he's trusting them a little bit, and that grows as well based on the guys' performance levels and how they handle it.
You know, kicking off for the fourth year for the club as a whole, this is something I get asked a lot. I'd love to get your take on it. What is the Atlanta United style of play? You know, it's going to differ a little bit because of the personnel at the different levels, academy, second team, first team. But what would you describe the style of play that you're trying to accomplish?
I think we're going to try and play out the back where it's reasonable to do it. Sometimes when it's unreasonable, we'll have a go as well. But it's putting players in positions to make decisions. Because I'm kind of going off the question, but you can't be coaching them in front of 70,000 through and holding their hand. They've got to be able to make a decision and make the right decision. So we put them in positions to make decisions. So they're playing out the back, they're cutting the ball through lines like you see Lawrence White passing it through. Even the second goal tonight, George Campbell plays a fantastic pass from just on the halfway line into someone's feet. They turn, there's a pass, and then before you know it's in the net. If your centre-backs are not stepping up and playing that sort of pass, you're not scoring that type of goal. And then obviously the high-pressing side of it as well, where we probably maybe a little bit more than the first team at the moment with the personnel, but we will be set up to go and press the life out of teams if we can and where it's appropriate. There will be times where you have to sit in games, but the aim for us is to be pretty intimidating with our pressure, pretty intimidating with how we can look after the ball and go and score some goals and make it attractive for people to watch.
Now, the one cool thing about checking out the twos in Kennesaw, and for those of you who are with us for the Motagua match a couple weeks ago, as a fan, you're so close to the pitch that you really pick up a different element of the match than you can get at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And one of the things that really stands out to me is to hear the communication. It's a lot more communicative than you would think just watching from a very far distance here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So I hope the people that go to the Fraction tomorrow, Fifth Third Bank Stadium, to see you guys play against Charleston Battery will have that experience, because I think you can learn a lot, not only about how this club wants to play and their style of play, but just about the mechanics of how a soccer match can unfold.
Yeah, and it's kind of a little bit of an anomaly with what I said to you earlier, that you can hear everything, you can hear every shout. But we're trying to prepare guys to play here where you can't hear yourself think.
True, right.
So we bang on it, the guys, all the time, that if you don't check your shoulder once and someone comes and smacks you, that's going to happen every time when you play in front of 70,000, because you can't hear someone telling man on. You've got to trust your eyes more than you trust the shout. So that's the importance of the overall environment that the guys get put into.
Looking forward to what's always a spicy matchup with Charleston. Seems like whether it's the first team or Atlanta United too, a little friction between things with the Battery.
We had a bit of friction with pretty much everyone last year. So
well, this is also true.
Yeah, no, it's a game we look forward to. We know they play the right way. We know that they'll come and they'll try and win. They might sit in a little bit. I think they'll come and try and press us early, but gives us an opportunity to show that we can play, and that's what the team are ready for. They are really biting. They want to get out there. They want to play. They want to show people. A lot of them have not worn an Atlanta badge yet, and a lot of them are here for that reason. Mojadama, another lad, to come back home. Mm-hmm. He'll have probably 30, 50 people there tomorrow, I don't know. But it's there's a lot of guys can't wait to get the stripes on, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they produce tomorrow.
We're looking forward to seeing it. The match will be televised by ESPN+. John Nelson and Jason will have the call. But I really encourage you, get out to Fifth Third Bank Stadium and see this in person. It's going to be a beautiful day tomorrow. It's going to be a very exciting match. And we have the excitement of Atlanta United's home opener tonight. It's very, very neat that we can kind of double that up with Atlanta United, too, tomorrow. And Glassy, it's always a pleasure chatting with you. I know we're going to do this more during the full-time report this year.
Great. So thanks for having me.
Looking forward to it. Great job. Stephen Glass, manager of Atlanta United, too. USL Championship team that finished last season very, very well. So it'll be exciting to see them play against Charleston tomorrow afternoon. As for this match, here at the Benz, Atlanta United 2-1 winners over Cincinnati. Let's give you the goals now. Atlanta United, in the 21st minute, scored the first goal of the match, and it was Pitti Martinez connecting with Ezequiel Barco to give Atlanta United, obviously, the 1-0 lead. Left-to-right goal kick fell right to Yuya Kubo, but a brilliant defensive play by Brooks Lennon to dispossess Lacadia and send it up to Pitti now. Right attacking third. Pitti to the corner of the 18. Into the box. Edge of the six. Pitti's cross. Poked in for a goal! It's Barco again!
Great stuff from Ezequiel Barco, but Pitti Martinez played such a key role in that as well. It was a team goal, and that's what Atlanta United's going to have to do this season. Without Joseph Martinez, you're going to have to combine a little bit more, get more numbers forward, and then convert at the end of it and finish plays.
Gave Atlanta United a 1-0 lead that they would tank into halftime, but they did have a setback right before halftime. Lawrence Wyke left the game. Frank DeBoer, and we're going to play you Frank DeBoer's comments in a moment. He said after the match that Lawrence felt dizzy, and he needed to come out of the match, which is what we suspected. Atlanta United, Jason said in the build-up to the second goal, Atlanta United, it really felt like they needed that second goal because Cincinnati was really starting to grow into the match. And sure enough, they get that second goal in the 55th minute, and it's a great finish by Emerson Heineman. Well, here's a chance. Barco into the attacking third. Right down the middle. Barco dribbling off to the left. Ahead to Mulroney. Corner of the 18. Back to Pitti Martinez. Top of the box. Over to Barco on the left side of the box. Barco into the box now. Emerson Heineman takes a touch. Turn shot. Score! And Atlanta United does get the much-needed second goal. And just as it was in Nashville, it comes again from Emerson Heineman. 2-0. Pitti and Barco with assists in the buildup as well.
That's a great finish from Heineman as well, beating Richie to the near post. Emerson Heineman's a player that we saw in moments last season look really good in the final third. He's playing in a slightly deeper role now, which in some ways makes it harder for him to be accounted for by the opposition. He has popped up in some big moments so far this season.
Cincinnati did make things interesting, though. 10 minutes later, they get this goal from Yuya Kubo to cut it to 2-1. Kubo in the near corner with Rometty closing him down. Kubo waiting, playing it to the corner of the 18. Cruz centering it where it's back-heeled by Lacadia to Regatin. Back up top now, turning on the ball is Kubo. Kubo will shoot from distance, scores. Yuya Kubo from 20 yards out had Brad Guzan completely fooled, and Cincinnati is back into it as they've cut the deficit to 2-1.
It's one where Brad Guzan's just sliding over to the near side, and Kubo hits a screwball that kind of, you know, has a little bit of a swerve to the right. He catches it right on the button, slightly with the outside of his right foot, and it's got a little bit of a left-to-right spin on it, but it catches Brad sliding the other way. He's completely flat-footed. It's a great goal from Kubo, and it made the end very interesting.
It did, but Atlanta United did see it out. I thought Barco made some really good individual plays in the final couple of minutes. One that comes to mind where he dribbled the ball into the far corner and basically waited to get knocked down, and the foul essentially was the final play of the game. Just one of a few very, very savvy veteran plays for still a young man, Ezequiel Barco. Almost impossible to believe he is only 20 years old. So Atlanta United comes away with a 2-1 win, and they are the only team in the Eastern Conference at this point that is 2-0-0. Want to remind you that Atlanta United, for each clean sheet this season, donates $2,000 to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. Two wins, but no clean sheets yet, so still no donation, but I'm sure that will change in short order. We will take your questions and comments on Twitter after this. We'll also hear a little bit from Frank DeBoer. Last call if you want to send us your comments, at MikeConte929 and at Longshoe. And we'll continue with a full-time report in a moment with Atlanta United defeating Cincinnati 2-1 on Star 94.1.
You said the words without speaking. Now I'm gonna make you mine.
Give me just one night, una noche.
No, it's not Bad Bunny. It's 98 degrees. A little bit of a Latin flavor from the boy band from Cincinnati, Ohio.
They were branching out at that point in their career.
I'm sure Bad Bunny would cite Nick Lachey as one of his major musical influences, correct?
No. No, he wouldn't.
No?
No.
Oh, I don't know. 98 degrees, Nick Lachey, about as big a Cincinnati sports fan as you'll ever meet, and I am sure he is somewhere sulking because Atlanta United, for the second time in three attempts, has defeated FC Cincinnati 2-1 here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium as we continue on the full-time report. Earlier in the program, and we were speaking to George Bello, Frank DeBoer was addressing the rest of the media downstairs. Here is a little bit of what Frank DeBoer told the assembled group in the locker room.
Great effort. I know we can play much better, but it starts first with really work very hard, and it was sometimes quite difficult for us, you know. They really played in a block, and to create our own space and everything, we were difficult to find the free man. And we had some moments, for example, the great pass when we could find Petey and then directly to Barco, one against one in the first half. And yeah, that is what you're looking for, but you know, it's so rare, you know, when you find those spaces. And I don't say we have to be more patient, but I think we can, the tempo can be better, I think, from left to right, and then try to pull them more to the sides, and then suddenly you want that splitting pass in between. And I think we could do better, but still, you know, we are just on our way. A lot of new players. I think we have like four players who started the last game against Toronto. So that means, you know, everybody, you know, has to, feel his position, also with his teammates, and that takes time. And so last year we played 1-1 against Cincinnati, and now we have 6 points instead of 1 point, so that's a big difference, and it's positive, but that we have to improve, that's for sure.
What was the expectation from you to Barco? It looked like his runs were a lot more positive. Obviously, without Joseph there, he had to do that. You had two central defenders for Cincinnati that were pretty, I mean, they're older, they're slow. Was there an intention for him to get forward, to get behind the lines?
Yes, because especially when you play against a really block, you know, you have to, not every time, because they're waiting for those balls, you know, in between, and that we are frustrated and try to make more risk in those passing, and then they won, you know, and we were also focused on, you know, making runs behind their last line, also because of the center backs, but more because when you play against the block like that, you have the space where the most space is behind them. And so, you know, like Lawrence, Wyke, you know, we opened a lot of times, you know, directly to Jake Mulroney, and that is what you want. And then you want directly the one against one. And I think if they really understand, you know, hey, I'm making an unselfish run, and then free Jake, but also, you know, also for yourself. And I think Barco did really well, you know, to put a lot of energy, you know, to make those runs, and it opens up the game a little bit. And he had some good runs, and unfortunately, he didn't score his first great run.
Can you provide any information on Wyke's injury, and how much concern do you have now going to Club America, Mexico City, with so many center backs and defenders missing? And what's going to be a tough
environment? Yeah, he had quite a knock on his head, and it was a bit swollen. So and he was a little bit dizzy. He couldn't really see clear. So I don't know if it's a concussion or not, but it seems like a little bit. But still, I don't have to really the end result. But we have to wait for that, of course. And but hopefully, you know, it's just a knock on his head, you know, and that's it. But yeah, that concerns, of course, because yeah, then you lose an extra body, you know, in the back. And so hopefully he's going to be all right, you know, tomorrow, and he can join us. But we have to wait for that.
How do you think Jan and Campbell did today?
I think starting with Adam Jan, you know, he blocked off, you know, he was running everywhere and had some good combinations, and for him, you know, it's also yeah, you know, new, you know, playing in almost a full stadium, 70,000 people, and also the turf, you know, he has to get used to that also, of course. Yesterday we trained the first time, you know, just 45 minutes on it, so yeah, I think he can be very proud, you know, what he showed today. And so, yeah, great debut. Also for George Campbell, of course, he's very young. But, you know, when you're in the roster, you know, you have to be ready. If not, I don't have, you know, players, you know, just to be fun to be in the roster. No, if you are in the roster and you're 17, it doesn't matter. You have to be ready. And I think, you know, he looked a little bit nervous, but I think he can also be proud, you know, on his debut. And now he has have that debut, and he can look forward, you know, to hopefully a lot more.
Okay, Frank DeBoer with some of his comments after the match. By the way, that's not a little thing. This is, I'm almost positive, the first time Atlanta United's played on turf since training camp. IMG was natural. Birmingham was natural. Guadalajara was natural. What am I leaving out? Honduras was a meadow. And then Kennesaw is kind of hybrid, but plays like natural grass. And then obviously Nashville was grass. So that's not a small thing to adjust to. Interesting that Frank would point that out. Before we get to your questions and comments on Twitter, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification.
Shoots, scores! You're listening to Atlanta United Soccer, WSTR-FM and HD1 Smyrna, Star 94.1, a radio.com station.
All right, your questions on Twitter brought to you by TCL, the official smartphone partner of Atlanta United. Ricky Ricardo agrees with us. Man of the match, Barco. The goal and the assist, the defensive work, he ran his button, will be one of the main engines of this team this year.
Yeah, he's
going
to have to be.
Miller, before you walk away, could you please turn Jason's microphone on? Thank you.
You don't need me in this.
Yes, we do.
No, you don't. No, you don't. It's all good.
You want me answering that?
Yes.
No. Yeah, he played great. Next. You can give us a little more nuance.
All right, I'll try. Ezequiel Barco is going to have to be one of those engines for this team. I mean, you're going to have him really play a kind of a hybrid role in this 3-4-3 because he has to recognize when to drop, when to defend. He also has to get in between those lines, as Frank DeBoer talked about. He's got to push the team forward. He's the one who really decides when to put the team's foot on the gas and when to slow down a little bit and get organized.
All right, there was a confusing sequence late in the match where VAR was consulted on an incident that could have produced a red card on Alan Cruz. Instead, he was shown yellow. But Kevin Brown wants to know, if there's a yellow card offense as judged on a video review, then why didn't Atlanta United get a free kick?
You don't get a free kick there because of the way that VAR functions. And there's been some other confusing elements to it, too. He didn't go look at it for a yellow card. You can only go look at it for a possible red card situation. And we got one quick look at the replay. You know, it was a studs up kind of stamp on the player. I don't think it was intentional. I think a yellow was probably the right one. But you don't come back in that scenario to give the free kick and the foul. You just take the yellow.
All right. Drew Gonneau says, good win. A lot of room to improve. Our counterattack was completely off. Looked like they had never had one before. Definitely relied on Joseph too much for that. Do you agree?
Well, no, it has nothing to do with relying on Joseph. This team hadn't had a counterattack before because Adam John hadn't been part of it in a counterattack. Adam John worked really hard tonight. He really did a lot of selfless stuff, but you saw a team that I think at times didn't really know what to expect from him. And in counterattack situations, that gets exposed even more. It's just he's a different player than Joseph Martinez. And at times in counterattacks, it's like they expected that kind of run that we see from Joseph and that kind of speed. That's not Adam's game. Adam gave you other things and popped up in some spots that I thought should have seen the ball a little bit more. Late in the first half, when they started to play to him a bit more, the game opened up. This team's figuring it out. I mean, they're going to figure it out, whether it's Adam John up top, whether it's Mateus Osetu coming into the team in the midfield, the back line. They're figuring it out on the fly because this was not the intended group to be playing at this stage of the season.
Well, and piggybacking off the Adam John discussion, Chris Levine says he's not sure if we know how to use John yet, would like to see more air service to him in the box, but then also wonders if Josetu could be a false nine in Mexico City on Wednesday.
Josetu doesn't really have any experience in that role unless, you know, it's just something that we haven't heard about in Brazil. Actually, in Brazil, he probably played a little bit deeper in the midfield than we've seen him so far here in Atlanta, and that's where I expect that he'll end up settling into this team. He's not really a false nine. He's not really a forward. He's more of a holding midfielder who can get forward and attack well. He's that, you know, a very different type of player, but the same kind of role that Miguel Almiron brought in a box-to-box midfielder who has that attacking, you know, way of thinking about the game. I don't want to see this team turn into one that's just trying to feed aerial balls and crosses into Adam John, and that's the difficult element that he's been thrust into. Is he's slotting into a team that is built to play with a striker like Joseph Martinez, and he's not that striker. He is the change of pace, but now he is the number one striker at the moment. That's going to affect how this team goes forward. Could it be Pity Martinez as the false nine on Wednesday night? He did get some extra rest tonight.
One more from Trombone Steve. He says, Cincinnati is not Club America or LAFC, but this is still a good match to show some ideas to build on, and time will shore up some of these communication lanes.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you've just got to get guys back healthy first off. You've got to get whatever group it is playing more games together so they just understand one another. Mateo Sosetu, I mean, we talked about it in the broadcast. He's not a Spanish speaker. He's not an English speaker. And at one point, instructions were being given from the bench, and Luis Fernando had to get up and help translate. I saw Luis Fernando get up, and I'm like, wait a minute, Atlanta United's out of substitutions. He can't go warm up. He was helping explain that they were going to more of a four-man midfield and wanted Josetu on the right side. Those things factor into this. And you've got a group of players that just haven't played together at the moment, and they figured it out tonight well enough to get 3 points.
As we all know, everything is better when Atlanta United wins, because with today's win, that's another donation of $1,000 to Piedmont Healthcare Foundation for a current total of $2,000. As a not-for-profit hospital system, Piedmont Healthcare relies on the generosity of donors to expand healthcare services in our community. Atlanta United proud to be a Piedmont donor. Busy week coming up. Mexico City Wednesday night, back here at the Benz on Saturday. Two big games against two very good clubs. Quick look ahead at both of those as we wrap up the full-time report after this. 2-1 Atlanta United over Cincinnati on Star 94.1.
Baby, if you ever wondered whatever became of me. I'm living on the air in Cincinnati, Cincinnati WKRP. Got kind of tired of
that. Some of you listening on radio.com tonight may have thought we were on WKRP for a little bit, according to some of your tweets.
We might have been.
God, I love that show. God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly. So many great lines. And Miller Pope correctly points out here in the broadcast booth, was it Quixie that WKRP was modeled after? Quixie and Dixie, an Atlanta radio station. And anyhow, Music of Cincinnati to wrap up the full-time report here on Star 94.1. 2-1 Atlanta United over Cincinnati. I do stand corrected, by the way, about Kennesaw. Got a text from Matt Moore. Kennesaw is not a hybrid surface anymore. It's just straight natural grass. So this was absolutely the first time Atlanta United has played on an artificial surface all year. Also want to tell you that Emerson Heinemann's game-winning goal tonight was the hot play of the match, brought to you by Scana. Two straight weeks of game-winning goals for Emerson Heinemann, giving Atlanta United the 2-1 win over Cincinnati. Okay, so the week to come. Monday, Atlanta United will fly to Mexico City. They'll train at the Azteca on Tuesday. Wednesday night, they play Club America. Travel back to Atlanta on Thursday, maybe a day to train Friday, and then a showdown against SKC, who's leading Houston 3-0 late in their match out in Kansas City. So a 4-0 now. My goodness. All right, a fourth goal for SKC. So SKC is going to be the number one team in the league just by virtue of number of goals scored and goal difference. They'll be 2-0-0. Atlanta United will be 2-0-0 in league play. Let's start with Club America. Team's got history. Atlanta United and Club America have history from the Campione's Cup. Look, you want to go out and you want to win every match. The smart thing to do, though, Jason, on Wednesday at the Azteca is to play tactically and try to grind out a low-scoring draw, correct?
Yeah, that's what you always want to do in the first leg on the road when it's 180 minutes, because you're not going to win the series in that leg, but you can let it get away from you if you're not careful. And we think back to Monterrey last year, where at 1-0, you were feeling pretty good about Atlanta's chances in the home leg. At 2-0, you started to worry. When it got to 3, that made it very, very difficult in a home leg where you outplayed Monterrey and you did get the win, but only a 1-0 win. It wasn't enough to advance. You've got to manage this match, and Club America comes in maybe not quite as wounded as Atlanta United, but they have a number of injuries as well. They had to grind out a wild 3-3 draw on Friday night against crosstown rivals Pumas. It was a 94th-minute equalizer from Henry Martin. Club America's not coming in the best of form at the moment. Atlanta United's not coming in the best of health at the moment. It's going to be a tricky one for both teams.
But Atlanta United is mentally tough. I don't think they're going to shrink from the challenge of the Azteca. And then a quick thought on SKC. When we saw them last year in Kansas City, they were so hurt. I mean, we were talking about hardship waivers just to get them to 14 or 15 players available. A lot different now for Mike Petke's club. They're going to be 2-0-0. They don't have the burden of CONCACAF as they did last year when Atlanta United ran into them. They made the semifinals of the CONCACAF Champions League and were blown out by Monterrey. So a good early season barometer match in MLS to see two teams that have MLS Cup aspirations.
And you've got two newcomers to this team, Sporting Kansas City and Alan Pulido, who was the Golden Boot winner in Liga MX last season, and Gadi Kinda, who's added a goal in each game so far. They're up 4-0 at the moment, and they've got four different goal scorers. As they get everybody healthy, this is a team that can win MLS Cup. They have that kind of quality. So far, they're showing it.
All right, 10:30 Wednesday night from the Azteca in Mexico City, Atlanta United and Club America. That will be on Sports Radio 92.9. The game immediately following the Hawks-Knicks game, and then Saturday, back here at the Benz, back on Sports Radio 92.9, the game again. 6:30 for the pregame show, 7 o'clock the kickoff, Atlanta United and Sporting Kansas City. On-site engineer tonight was Miller Pope, producer Dylan Matthews. For Jason Longshore, I'm Mike Conti. Once again, Atlanta United 2-1 winners over FC Cincinnati. We'll see you from the Azteca Wednesday night on Sports Radio 92.9, the game.
You've been listening to MLS Action of Our Atlanta United. Tune in for complete match day coverage all season long.
Our Atlanta United are brought to you by Equifax, The Home Depot, Mercedes-Benz, AT&T, Piedmont Healthcare, and Country Financial. You've been listening to a special presentation of Atlanta United on Star 94.1.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.